We have three readings today. The first can be found on page 994 of the Church Bibles. That's page 994, and it's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew. We're reading from the first verse. The parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And then we're going to turn to the last book in the Bible, Revelation, and that's page 1249. And it's chapter 21, and the first verse. Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And then back to chapter 19. Page 1247, starting at verse 5. "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small.' Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come now to think about those words that are written for us, your word, help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to consider how they affect us on a day-to-day basis and for the coming week. Lord, speak that we may hear. Lord, forgive the speaker, for his sins are many, and may we just focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Well, the great day is coming. Are you excited? Some of you are now starting to think, what is this man on about? Why did we invite him? Or some of you said, when I went out there, did I just take something that made me sort of say weird things? Well, all right.
You can go anywhere.
School girls down here could be out about their hair. Hopefully some of these things might become clear. And you may have picked up within the readings about either virgins or other versions have got bridesmaids, and brides and grooms. And when I was asked to come and speak this morning, I became aware that Ian, his son, I think his youngest son, was getting married yesterday. So presumably did get married yesterday. Interestingly, it was also at Wintersham, but not at the chapel, it was at the parish church. But it was that sparked my thoughts, or my thoughts were sparked, about marriage. Now, I'm echoing, but marriage, I'm not going to talk about the rights, the wrongs, hows and whys and wherefores of marriage as such, because for some of us, marriage is terrific. For some, marriages go wrong. They end for a variety of reasons, and some here may well have a dream of marriage but are single. Others of you who are single have a dream that you will never marry. You know, so there's a whole thing, because I'm not going to go into that. So I hope I won't offend anybody with anything that I say about marriage today. But one of the things that happens, even in our society today, is marriage still happens and still takes place. And often, more often than not, you start off by getting engaged. Now, Judith and I were talking this morning, irrespective of anything else, but she didn't know what I was talking about. She mentioned that somebody was saying that they're going to save up now to get married in a year or two's time, 3 years' time or whatever. But they haven't got engaged yet. They're going to get engaged next month or next year. And you think, my brain says, you know, surely you get engaged the moment you say to your beloved, will you marry me? You are engaged. And certainly in the days of Jesus, when he roamed around Palestine and Israel, the way that marriages worked, where you got betrothed quite early on. The man and the woman, often they were arranged marriages, but they were betrothed. And during that time of from betrothal to wedding, the man would go back home and set up home, save up his pennies, build a home, ready later to go and collect his bride and to form marry. And if you think about the birth of Jesus, That was in that period where Joseph and Mary were betrothed. They were committed to each other. They would not think about other people. They would be looking only to each other. And it was in that period that Jesus was born into the family. So you've got the betrothal. Then you get all the preparations during this time, don't you? And for many people nowadays, the preparations go on. Where should we get married? Who will be the officiating at the marriage? Shall it be a church marriage? Shall it be a chapel marriage? Shall it be a registrar marriage? Shall it be in a posh barn somewhere? And then you start to think, which one can we afford? You know, do we go on the cheap? No problem with that, we did. But, you know, and you start doing all these preparations. Then, of course, you get into that whole thing about who am I going to invite? Who will Mum and Dad want to be invited? You know, great Uncle Fred that you've never seen, but Mum or Dad says, but you've got to have them to your wedding. They're great Uncle Fred. And the bride and groom say, who? And then, of course, you go through this list and everybody decides they're going to only invite X number of people. So who should you knock off? Who will you offend least by not inviting to the marriage? Who will you offend the most? But that's all part of the preparations, isn't it? And then the bride thinks about the dress. You know, is it going to be this long, flowing white dress? With a lovely veil and a huge train. And then when you've got the huge train at back, then you've got to think about the bridesmaids. How many bridesmaids are you going to have to lift this train up? Exciting times, aren't they, if you're in that position? Now, I have officiated and married to three couples a couple of times here. And one of the privileges that I felt, as not just in the position of marrying a couple that are obviously in love at that point, you know, one of the things is that the groom who stands there, as the bride comes in, everybody here looks to the side and you only get half a view. And if you've got Dad on one arm, you don't get a view of the bride, do you? But the groom, as he stands here and he looks, when the notes hit, whatever note it is for, here comes the bride. You know, he turns. For you men, do you remember doing that? And do you remember, because I can see it here on all the occasions that I've married people, they turn and this wonderful glow comes from the male, the groom, as he looks at his bride. And it's pure joy, pure love. They're just, you know, they've been living together in some couples, aren't it, where they've been living together for 5 years before they marry. But there's still that little bit where they turn and see this vision in white coming down the aisle. And the groom just oozes love and joy. He doesn't realise it, you know, but you can see it. Other people possibly can't, but I'm privileged to see that. So this is all part and parcel of marriage. And so I ask you the question again. The great day is coming. Are you excited? What is the great day that's coming for you and me? Hopefully, possibly, guaranteed. We, the church, is the bride of Christ. The day is coming when the church, the bride, will be joined with the groom that is Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day. You should be excited. Well, hang on a second. Some of you aren't excited. Some of you will be excited. Some of you are not excited. But you have an opportunity to get excited. I asked two questions at the beginning. One was whether you're a sinner, and you all nearly all stood up. Some of you were thinking, well, I don't know. Then I asked the question, do you think you're a saint? Who stood up for that? I think there was only, I think I can only remember seeing two. Two people, did you see? Or
three.
Who was the third one? Either my brother, my wife. Well done. You three, guaranteed, with me, you are part of the bride of Christ. Now are you excited? Not because I'm with you, but because you are saints. You are saints. Believe it. Well, you three do. The rest of you, you're only halfway there. Because you admitted you're a sinner. I'll come into that. But the saint is not, as perhaps some elements of the church talk about, being, you have to be dead quite a long time. Then somebody has to try to show that you were actually quite a nice person, a good person, a holy person, even that you might have performed a miracle. Then you have to go through a rigmarole of 25 years, people discussing it, ticking it off, and then declaring that you're a saint. No. You are a saint at the point of when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. When you've confessed your sins, you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you are a saint, because he calls out to you, you are forgiven. And then what does he do? He goes to his big wonderful wardrobe and he takes out this particular perfect fit just for you of white royal robes, fine linen. And he says, wear these. And they are the royal linen, fine white robes of righteousness that you don't go and purchase. Only Jesus has purchased them and got them to fit you, whatever size you might think you are, you know, American size 6 or English size 4, whatever it might be, whatever you think. Jesus takes that robe and gives it to you, and he says, you are forgiven, you are a saint. Now, I say that with confidence, because when you read the story, the letters from the various apostles, most of them, and I think there was about 3 letters in the New Testament that don't say it, but certainly Romans, Corinthians, 1 and 2, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, they all say to the saints. To the saints. And if Paul or Peter was writing to you now, he would say to you, some of you, to the saints of Stoke Green. Now, do you include yourself in that? Apparently, no. Because you all stood up as sinners. Now you're feeling bad, aren't you? Now you're thinking, well, for you sinners, there is glorious hope, because you're halfway there. The hope that you have and why you're halfway there is because Jesus, and there was a cross up there between the songs, Jesus has come halfway towards you for you to come the other half. And as a sinner, you've said, you've admitted that you obviously disobey God. And what were those words, weren't they, that was read to us? I'll find out again in a minute. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all lies, their place will be in the lake of fire. A sinner, if you acknowledge that you're a sinner, so say you're halfway there, because the next step is that you recognise that you've sinned against God. The invitation is now to go and do something about it. Take hold of those sins, whether you can name them specifically or whether they're generalised, because most of us, unless we've done something really, really obviously bad, we know that we've sinned and we've done something wrong. So we have a general, I have gone against God, I've been more interested in me than in God. I've been more interested in me than anybody else. I've been selfish, I've been wanting all of this for myself, rather than putting God or Jesus first. But when you recognise that, and then you step into the next bit, which is to say, recognizing it and taking responsibility, you say to God, "Hey, I'm sorry. I have done wrong. I have done wrong against you, God. So please forgive me. And please, Jesus, come into my life so that I might be one of your saints. Please clothe me with your righteousness, blotting out all of my sin." And all you see, and all that Jesus was seeing at his wedding with the church, universal, not just stone green, you're not that privileged. But as Jesus looks down at his church and his bride in white, in righteousness, coming up the aisle, as it were, he will just ooze joy and love upon you. And to me, that's a wonderful, wonderful thought, that he will look at me with love and joy and ooze that excitement. When that's going to happen, I don't know. But the hope and the glory is that it will. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, invited him into your life, then you are part of his bride. Now, of course, the saints, three of you, plus me, at least, stood up with our white robes of righteousness. But like I mentioned about the train of the white dress at the wedding, you get out of the limousine and it's been raining. Right in a puddle, the bottom of the dress gets all filthy. And you think, this lovely white dress that's cost you £5,000 to borrow, let alone mine, is now dirty. Before I even get in the chair, then you get to the reception, and somebody says, "Have a little glass of wine." Or you're sitting there and you've decided to have the spaghetti bolognese for your main meal. The reality is that we who are saints, and when you become saints, yes, you will still blemish your robes of righteousness. There will still be thoughts, words, and deeds that pour something down the dress, as it were. There will be a blemish on it because you've done something wrong. And so for us saints already, when we realise that that's happened, we need again to go to Jesus and say, "Look, I'm sorry. I really messed this up. I've really gone something and done something wrong. Please forgive me." And more than you get your varnished little bar out and rub it clean, he blots it out. And your white robes of righteousness will become again pure, white, glorious. And you've got the hope of the wedding feast to come. Hold on to that. We may not know how long it's going to be, but do you not get excited as a bride and groom in this today's age, get excited about the wedding that's coming up, whether it's next week, yesterday, or 2 years' time, or whatever it is, if you're in that position. And if you're not, as a saint, you will get married to Christ. Hold on to that in these days. You're in the middle of, we're all in the middle of days which are uncertain. Uncertain nationally, internationally, and now with Ian leaving, an unsettled period of not knowing what's going to be around the corner. But if you are a saint, then hold on to the reality and the surety of the wedding to come, because you will be part of that, and that will surpass all the difficulties that you think of, all the worries that you've got. To look forward to that day when you move from here into the wedding feast with Christ. The bridesmaids, or the virgins, now that causes a lot of theological difficulties. Why would there be 10 virgins waiting for the groom to get married to somebody else? Who knows? Do you know? Have you read it? You don't know the answer. But ignore the finer details of that. The whole point of that parable was saying, be ready for the kingdom of God. because the kingdom of God is near, and you could be part of the kingdom of God. And out of the 10 bridesmaids that were there, to show the light and light the way for the groom and probably his bride at the same time. He's probably gone back to collect his bride from her home to bring her to the wedding feast rather than the father of the bride, as it were. He's probably gone back, and so he's bringing his bride, and the bride and groom are coming, and these bridesmaids got the lamps to show the way, because it's now got dark. And they, five of them, are prepared to meet the groom, five are not. Five are ready, they've got their lamps burning bright to show the way. Five have got it wrong. They haven't got the oil. They have to go away. They miss out. And so part of our preparation in this marriage feast of the bride with the risen king is, are you prepared? Not just through coming to Christ and getting his forgiveness at the white rose. Not just apologising when you've marred and made a bloom and you've got something dirty on your dress. No. Being prepared is like those five that are wise, having their lights ready to shine. Now, you're all aware that tomorrow is All Hallows' Evening, aren't you? You would be, but you call it Halloween. But it's actually All Hallows' Evening. And it's meant to be a time when you hallow and remember the next day especially, which is called
Halloween.
Halloween is Monday. What's the next day, the 1st of November? All Saints! All saints, not just some saints. And it's not just because you've got St. Andrew's Day. Just don't throw that in. But it's the fact that those loads of saints that have been named within the church over the history, they haven't necessarily got their own special day. So just to catch the rest, we'll have All Saints Day. But no, All Saints Day is for you if you're a saint. To give thanks to God that you are a saint. And for those saints that you know, those people that have gone before that are now dead in Christ, and waiting for the resurrection day to become joined with us and we with them for this wedding, we remember them. They are saints. And they are part of that great witness that we read about in Hebrews. Yeah. So, one of the things about Halloween has turned away from being a thoughtful God thank you type day and evening, preparing to give thanks to God for all saints. It's turned into this strange thing about trick and treat, with everybody wearing strange clothes, wearing witches' aircraft, ghoulish type things. And did not Brenda read in that passage? Oh, let me just read it again. Where is it? The little deadly, the fornicators, the murderers, the sorcerers, the witchcraft people, those that are celebrating the darkness are going to go out tomorrow night wearing all of this stuff that mum and dad and great auntie have bought for the children, wearing it, and can't possibly to your door saying trick or treat. What are they celebrating? They're celebrating darkness. They don't acknowledge it, they don't realize it, but they're celebrating darkness. So please, if you're a saint especially, but if you become a saint through this morning's time, and I'll give you a time to become a saint after we've sung the next hymn. If you become a saint, can I ask you to be like the five wise bridesmaids, to keep your lamp burning bright? So that maybe, you know, when we live in Kesbury, there's a house at Christmas, that, and there are lots of houses do, don't they? They do around here. Spend thousands of pounds putting up wonderful lots of lights to shine bright. But they do that at Christmas, which is lovely. I invite you to do that today, tomorrow night. Shine a light on your property so that if people do come to celebrate the darkness because they come to trick or treat, you can say to them, no, we don't celebrate what you're celebrating. We celebrate the light, because the light of God, the light of Jesus, is much more powerful, much more appropriate, much more better than celebrating the darkness. Be the wise bridesmaids with the lights burning bright to show the way to other people where Christ is. Give me oil in my lamp, give me burning. Somebody will sing that probably. Now that I've suggested that. But not that. But this is what we're called to do. This is part of our preparation for the day of coming when Jesus calls us home. To shine our light, to shine his light into the darkness that is around us. And tomorrow night, when people celebrate Halloween, shine a light for Jesus. Shine a light for All Hallowed Evening. Shine a light for All Saints Day the next day. Show people that as a saint, you've got a better outcome than if you're not. And I mentioned that we're in this time of unsettledness, both nationally. You know, whatever you think, things are a little bit unsettled at the moment. You're full of worry. Some of you are worried. This, that, and the other. You've got the international scene with wars and famines, etc., still going on. You've got the unsettledness of now being without a minister here. I put that last because that's fairly insignificant against the others, in my opinion. But let me just reflect back to you. There is a story in Scripture, Matthew 8-ish, and in Mark and John, where Jesus has got into a boat and he's sailing with his disciples across the Lake of Galilee because he wants to get to the other side. And what happens is, it's dark, it's night time, but he wants to get there for breakfast. He falls asleep in the boat, doesn't he? And the winds pick up, and you get this howling gale force wind shooting down the Lake of Galilee, and this boat is now being tossed all over the place. Water's coming in, and whatever buckets they've got, they chuck their head as quick as they can, and they say, what? And they're getting right worried that they're going to die. Strong, healthy fishermen that have been doing this for years. And then they wake Jesus up and say, don't you care that we're about to die and you've got the audacity to sleep? And what does Jesus say? He doesn't tell them off as such, but surely what he's saying is, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And I think that if you read between the lines, he's saying, you know, I'm the Lord God. I'm the Son of God. You've seen me do certain miracles that overpower all sorts of creation. And you're worried. Don't be. Because I'm the Lord of creation. So this boat is never going to capsize while I'm in it. It's never going to happen. Because I'm in the boat. Yes, you've got to do your part, throw the water out. But don't worry, because I'm in the boat. And just to prove it, he says, he stands up. Everybody else is swaying, holding on to their mast for dear life. And he just calmly stands up, and what does he say? Be calm. To prove the point to these disciples that whatever is happening around, if Jesus is with them, they are safe. They have a destiny. They have an opportunity. And if you know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then whatever befalls and happens around us, as we look to him, we can look forward to this wonderful wedding that we will be part of. It doesn't impact us in the same way if we've got Jesus with us. Our boat won't particularly capsize. We have a wedding. Are you prepared for that wedding, that marriage? Are you going to be entering into that and to this marriage banquet with Jesus? yes or no. Keep being prepared. Accept Christ. Trust in him. And be ready for the great day. The great wedding. The church, the bride in white, with the risen King. May you know that.